Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you eat, sleep, and breathe golf...
Sounds like my kind of guy.
Love to explore...
All right, here's what you do. You're going to call your PR guy on the phone, tell him I'm here to see him.
And most importantly, just want to have some fun...
Looks like we got ourselves an orgy here.
Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren.
Don't you think this is starting to get just a little big for the two of us to handle?
Here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence.
I don't know how much you know about journalism, but... First rule of thumb is don't ever ask a question that you don't want an answer to.
And the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Not his fault. He's just trying not to lose his job.
Welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. Glad you found us wherever you consume your podcasting content, on Apple Audio Boom, or as always on the Golf Trip Experts website at golftripx.com. We have an unbelievably great show today. Really, really excited. Something a little bit different, Darren, but I think is going to be an absolutely wonderful conversation.
Oh, we are going to get in touch with our inner golfer. That's what I'm looking forward to with Malcolm Scoville. We will tell the whole story of how he has created something called Imagine Golf, and looking forward to the conversation with him. Plus, he's had some extensive travels. He spent some time in some of our favorite places, so we're going to talk a little bit about that as well.
Great. I can't wait. As I said, we're going to talk to Malcolm in a moment, but first want to remind you where you can find us on the socials. Darren at Golf Getaways on Twitter and Instagram. Me at Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E on Twitter and Instagram. Our esteemed producer, Chris McEwen at Chris McEwen on Twitter and Instagram. Sounds like a tape repeat. And also, of course, don't forget Chris's great podcast as well, Golf Origin Stories. It is a must listen. Let us dive straight into our guest, Darren. Not that I don't want to chit-chat with you. I always like chit-chatting with you. But when we get Malcolm Scoville on, I think we should get right to it. Malcolm's going to bear with me a minute as I explain a little bit about Malcolm and what he has done. It's easy to see why golf has been a lifelong interest for Malcolm. He grew up in North Carolina near Pinehurst. For most people, that would be enough, but not for Malcolm. He decided to go to college at the University of St. Andrews. He has a degree in economics with honors, mind you, but really, he went there to play golf. His words, not my jealous ones. After college, eventually, he became involved in the world of business and venture capital on a global level. So I guess in a way, the economics degree was a good thing. But in 2019, he founded TLDR, which is internet slang for too long, didn't read, which is something I learned reading about Malcolm. It's basically a way of shortening stories for the digital age in which we live. And Darren, you can look this up, but people of my age had this for years with Cliff Notes. But now it's kind of a digital thing. Basically, the big takeaway here relative to Malcolm and his journey to Imagine Golf is his interest in making content easy to find and absorb in an ever-changing, potentially stress-inducing world. What he calls snackable content, all of it designed for good, to help people, to counter the negativity in our minds, and by extension, our hearts, not only on the golf course, but in our lives. And reading up on Malcolm and what Imagine Golf is about, I was reminded, this is one of my favorite things. I used to do a lot of work with an unbelievably unique and fabulous sports psychologist named Chuck Hogan, who worked with a lot of tour pros. And while I was doing the work with Chuck, we were out in Sedona doing a video. And on the putting green one day, something came up and I was talking to him about the mental aspect of putting. And he asked me a question about vacuuming. And I looked, and Chuck was a little off, in a way. And I looked at him. I don't think I've ever told you the story, Darren. I looked at Chuck, and I went, "What are you talking about?" And he looked at me straight in the eye, and in a very calm way, he said, "How you do one thing is how you do everything. He said, so a seemingly unrelated question about vacuuming and how you vacuum carries over into the ways you do other things. Anyway, in researching a bit about Malcolm, it really made me think about that. During the time of the pandemic, one of the TV commercials that caught my eye and my mind was an app called Calm, which is a series of 10-minute meditations. And what I thought was particularly attention-grabbing, other than the idea itself, was that I first saw the ad amidst all this pounding of advertising that we got. And when the Calm ad came on, and Malcolm was an advisor and investor in Calm, a first step into this area, I guess. We'll find out about that. But when I saw that Calm come on, the commercial, it literally stopped me in my tracks. It was so different. And I've meditated before in my life. I know now that Calm is my gateway back into it. Darren, I won't tell you the details about the meditation in my life, but it's a good thing. Let's just say that. Malcolm's shortly going to tell us how his latest fantastic idea, Imagine Golf, got started. Basically, 3-minute slices of positive beauty relating to golf to help us all in our quest for enjoyment, for improvement in the game we love, and hopefully, by extension, in our lives. And listen to this. In a relatively short period of time, Imagine Golf now has over 200,000 downloads and counting quickly, and more than 3,000 five-star reviews in the Apple App Store. The other 197,000 people, obviously too busy playing golf and smiling, the type of review. Darren and I first heard about Malcolm and Imagine Golf from our friend and spiritual advisor, golfer guru Jay Revel, author of, among other things, The Great 9 Virtues of Golf. Jay, of course, joined us on a fantastic episode, number 156, of Talking Golf Getaways. In case you missed it, it's worth listening to. Thanks to Jay for the introduction to Malcolm, who you can find on Twitter and Instagram at Mal Scoville, MalScovil. You can check out Imagine Golfers on Twitter, or get the Imagine Golf app in the Apple Store. If you've got an iPhone, sad emoji face on my own face right now. I'm really stoked, and I know Darren is too, to talk to Malcolm, who now joins us from the city by the bay in San Francisco. Malcolm, it's really great to have you on with us. Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways.
Oh, Mitch, Darren, it's great to be here. It's great to be here. Thank you for that amazing introduction. I'm going to play that for my wife every morning.
Well, she actually called me and said, please write Malcolm a good one.
That was a good one. That's great. You know, they talk about this idea of self-talk, in sports psychology. And we just need some Mitch talk, maybe. That was great.
We need a Mitch app.
Uh-oh. That's don't right. Get Darren we can, started. Don't get Darren started, Malcolm. You. This we is a rabbit hole you don't want to go down.
Mitch might be the newest contributor to Imagine Golf.
Hey, we'd love it.
Malcolm, before we dive into the app and Imagine Golf, let's jump into where golf really grabbed you. And Mitch alluded to the fact that you went to school in Scotland. It's one of our favorite places. We talk about it all the time on Talking Golf Getaways. How did Scotland make an imprint on your life?
Oh, boy. Mitch touched on this. I grew up in a little town called Sanford, North Carolina, which is about 45 minutes from Pinehurst.
Wait a minute. You grew up in Sanford?
Yeah, Sanford. You know Sanford?
Oh, no. Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, Tobacco Road is like my favorite place on earth. So
Tobacco Road?
That is amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Are you familiar with place? Tobacco Road, Malcolm?
Yeah, I am. I am. I played it. And I lived in Sanford pre-Tobacco Road, where our claim to fame was being the brick capital of America. There's more bricks exported per capita than any other place in America. So that's not a great claim to fame. Tobacco Road is a much better claim to fame. So, very special spot. So, but it's golf land down there. And, my first summer job, wasn't that long of a job, but my brother and a couple of friends of ours, heard they were hiring, at the US Open in 1999, for folks to drive around and, you know, kind of deliver stuff to the corporate tents and haul kegs and just basically one of the runners of the tournament. And so that was my first taste of real professional golf and the arena that there really is, you know, this great sport can create around these beautiful courses and the competitors and the history. So, like, you know, we all kind of ducked out on the last day and watched Payne Stewart sink that putt on 18. And I think that was like a moment that, you know, it was kind of standing on top of a golf cart, like hanging off a pine tree, you know, just the emotion of that, you know, planted something in me early on. And
can I ask how old you were at this point?
I was 19. So actually, I was heading off to St. Andrews. So I had a friend that had gone to St. Andrews, and I had gotten accepted to a university called Colby College in Maine. I was accepted starting the second semester. So my dad was living in Scotland at the time. Said, "Hey, like, why don't you come over, get some good father son time, and you can study at St. Andrews." I had a buddy from my same high school who was going there. And it was a very easy yes to decide to do that. I'd never even been to St. Andrews. My dad had never been there. But we're driving in and, you know, it's like late summer, like late August in St. Andrews. And I think we got there at 8:30 at night or something. My dad was living on the west coast of Scotland, just near Troon. So we driven like 2.5 hours over, and it's like first thing that struck me is it's like basically like, you know, just full sunlight here at 8:30 at night. So I'm like, that's pretty cool. And then we're driving into town, and my dad, first thing he says is, "I'm so jealous of you. Like, I'm dropping you off at college here, and you get to spend time here." And within 2 weeks of being at St. Andrews, I knew there was no chance I was going to be going to Waterville, Maine for the next 4 years. And I walked into the admissions office and said, "Hey, how does this work?" They said, "Yeah, just, you know, we'll take you, you know, you've already been accepted, you know, to study here." So, it was a very easy process. And that was 4 years, a lot of golf and, you know, I studied economics. Scotland is big on, you know, Adam Smith and the Wealth of Nations. So it was a lot of good academic takeaways there. But I think the golf experiences were certainly what I think when I think back to my time in college, is just studying for exams, like teeing off at 6:30 in the morning before a 9 a.m. exam and like going through flashcards with buddies on the old course and stuff like that. So, it was a phenomenal experience.
Can I follow up just briefly? I mean, Darren and I could talk to you about this for a couple hours alone. But Darren and I have both been lucky to be at St. Andrews in different parts of Scotland numerous times. But we always drop in for a week or two. So we get excited before we go. Then we get there. We have an unbelievable time. We don't want to leave. Then we leave. And it's always a few years before we get back and whatever. I'm trying to picture the relative continuity of your time there, being there for so long. And I would imagine that it literally has to just seep into your cells. It has to be where your soul is, not just while you're there, but when you leave.
Yeah, I think there's something about small towns. I think people that maybe grew up in Manhattan or big cities can say this as well, but I grew up, you know, Sanford is a very small town. You knew all the streets, you know, you kind of know your neighbors by name. And there was a certain familiarity with St. Andrews, you know, it's population 16,000 with students, you know, with 6,000 students. And there's only, you know, as you guys know, there's like three main streets. And, you literally know the name of the folks in the coffee shops and the sandwich shops and the starters and, so it felt very much like a bubble, you know, where you are, you're obviously off there in the north of Scotland, and the winters get pretty dark, right? Pretty dark and pretty cold. So there's a lot of bonding. It kind of forced you to find creative ways to kind of keep your serotonin levels up when there's not much sunshine. So it's a very social place, and it's also a place that a lot of folks, kind of this connection between golf and business started in St. Andrews. I read a stat in my first year there. I think it might have been in the admissions office when I was asking them if I could stick around for four more years. It said there are more directors of FTSE 100 companies who have graduated, the top 100 public companies in the UK, graduated from St. Andrews than any other university. And it's just like this like appreciation for, really it's building relationships and getting to know people. And, obviously a lot of those people are golfers. I think one of the really big takeaways from that time was just the appreciation for spending quality time with other people, whether it was on the golf course or in a pub, people would very oftentimes cook dinners, for friends, because there wasn't, food's not great up there. So you have Italian friends that would invite you over, and a couple buddies of mine, big connection between Italy and Scotland. So there's a lot of Italian students there, actually. But I remember the first time I went over to there's three Italian guys living in a flat together, and we had four different pastas at dinner. And I was coming out of Sanford, North Carolina, like I'd had like SpaghettiOs, So I was just like, wow, I just got introduced to so many different, types of people. And my friends were from Poland and Scotland and Dubai. There's actually not a lot of Scots. It's like actually fewer than 50% of the students there are from Scotland. But it's a very international place. Yeah. So it was, and it's quite a few Americans as well. And, my third year, Prince William announced, I guess the summer before my junior year, Prince William announced he was going to be going there, which was created this, big hysteria, with American girls. So the applications from American girls went up 300%. So we had a big influx of young freshmen when I was the third year, which he couldn't date all of them. So I think some of the rest of us, at least a ratio improved.
Benefit.
Yeah. The history of the game, though, I told Jay this recently, and there's so many folks that come in, like the Dunhill Classic, is going on, in the start of the school year. There's the photos of all the British Opens. But you see people see Hugh Grant walking around and he's there for the Dunhill, or, you guys might know, Sidney Matthews, who, one of the great scholars of golf, mm-hmm. and of sitting in the new clubhouse studying for, exams, and, by myself, it was probably 7 a.m. or something. And, the great thing about golf in the winter there, or the facilities in the winter, is nobody's there. So the Old Course Hotel is kind of empty. Students use it as like their local bar. The new clubhouse is empty. So it's a great, lots of these great places to kind of just go grab your books and study. And Sidney Matthews walks in to the new clubhouse, and I was the only person sitting. He just comes over and says, "Hey, you mind if I join you?" And it's something about the town where people just are very open to doing that. And that kind of created a several year pen pal relationship with Sidney. And many, many happy memories. And I'm getting a little bit nostalgic talking about it.
Well, we're sorry to do that to you. Darren's fault.
Mitch, you know what would happen if I lived full time in St. Andrews? That I would just spend I would spend half of every day at Fisher and Donaldson's just eating yum yums, and I would be 5,000 pounds. I would not be able to walk the old course.
No, you'd roll to the first tee.
That's right. So, well, anyway,
here's another secret that I didn't know until my first week at St. Andrews. As anybody that's listening, if you want the best deal in golf, go and become a student at St. Andrews. There's master's programs. There's all sorts of things. Even if your master's programs were to cost, it's not that expensive compared to the U.S. Say it's a one-year master's and the cost was £4,000 or something. As a student, you get the resident card, So your resident card, when I was a student, you paid 110 pounds and you could play unlimited golf. You play the old course twice a day, 365 days a year. So if the tourist rate, you know, I don't know what it is now, but it was over 100 pounds back then. So if you basically only had to play something like 40 or 50 rounds to kind of make even your tuition and your golf like kind of make sense. So you were in the black. But the town and the golf courses, all the links, the St. Andrews Links organization treats students like their local residents, which is another great perk of being a student there.
That is so great.
Oh, it's outstanding.
All right. Go ahead, Darren.
Well, I was going to say, Malcolm, tell us, one of the things we're always looking for, especially when we talk about Scotland, are you know, places that might not get the attention of the big name destinations. I mean, we talked about the Lynx Trust and the Old Course and that type of thing. Is there anywhere that you've played when you were there that you just wish people knew about, you know, that you would call, you know, we use the word hidden gem way too often, but something along those lines that you want to turn people onto?
I mean, you know, St. Andrews has got so many courses. King's Barnes had just been built, you know, when I was there, and that was always special to go up there. And it was like, you know, just, it was so new. It was like, you know, that new car smell, like it's like a brand new golf course, like smell, and the clubhouse was brand new. I have many memories of that. I think that there's the so many memories on the old course. The old course is like a lot of people, it's kind of a cliche to say that playing the old course is kind of your big, like your big course that, you know, it would be your forever course in heaven. But it was more specifically, it was like the late summer, then the days were longest, kind of just as you ride back into town. And you tee off like at 5:30 p.m. and coming in like after 9 or right around 9 p.m. and the town and the sunset, and it's so still and the shadows are long, like that is like the golf experience that I just have so vividly in my memory from being in St. Andrews. So it's, you know, it's obviously tough to kind of pick your tee times, you know, if on a trip to St. Andrews, but that's the most special. I really made an effort to kind of structure my schedule around being able to do that as much as possible.
One time on the old course was that way.
Oh.
And just absolutely wonderful as part of a 36 hole day with King's Barnes. So we are on the same wavelength when it comes to that. Now you're 5,000 miles across the globe,
yeah,
from Scotland and on the West Coast. Have you discovered anything great golf-wise in the Bay Area?
Well, I've had the privilege to play some great courses. I mean, my first course I think I played here was Crystal Springs, actually. It's a little, it's a muni course, but it's got these amazing views over a reservoir just off the highway, running up and down the bay. And that course, I play golf somewhat frequently with folks that played that in high school, and it's a very, very hilly course. It's not an impeccable shape, but it's just, it's never, there's no dull holes. And so that's a great course. I have a friend whose father and grandfather are members of Cyprus, so I've gotten down to play Cyprus a few times, which is you know, just again, that there's just something about these, like these iconic courses. So there's so much history. I think I just recently read The Match when I played that course for the first time.
Cool.
I think Olympic obviously is amazing course that, it's just, again, so much open history and a great place to play. I've got to do some more work, actually, you know, kind of getting up and down. I haven't done the West Coast golf like I've done Scotland golf. Like, haven't been to Bandon yet. That's on the trip. That's on the list. There's just a lot of places, and there's a lot of places up and down the West Coast I haven't been. But I've been probably too much head down working since I moved to the UK. Since I moved from the UK, I moved here in 2016, and just ironically, we had our first kid, little Charlie, about 11 months ago. And don't tell Charlie this, but I played more golf in the last 11 months than I have in the last, kind of 10 years, because, you know, just the COVID has made that a little bit easier. So, I got some more exploring to do for sure.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of stuff that I'm going to need to come up there and join you and help explore. I haven't played nearly enough golf in the Bay Area, so we'll have to work that out sometime, maybe this summer or sometime this year.
Well, I would love that. I would love that.
Okay, you two, take a break. let's dive into the app, Malcolm. Darren and I could talk courses and travel all day, but the app is obviously really unusual. There have been other apps that I've seen that try to hook people into different things. But Imagine Golf is a really unique idea. You had seen already the success of Calm, but it wasn't until you played with a 10-year-old golfer, and I love this story, that the motivation for Imagine Golf really took shape, as I understand it. Tell us the story.
Yep. Oh, that's a great story. That's actually a Harding Park story, another great Bay Area course. So it involved a great friend of mine that I went to St. Andrews with, and he and I we played on the university football team, the soccer team, and he had kids right out of college. So he has a 10-year-old son at the time. This was a few years ago, and we were playing in a match. It was my buddy and another friend of ours, and then little Sam, who was about 10 years old at the time. And we had a 18-hole match, and it was father-son, Fraser Sam versus Amit, my buddy and me. And on the last hole, on the 18th hole, after a long, grueling battle, it was like a duel in the sun, Sam had a putt. It was a 3-foot putt. It was not inside the circle of friendship. It was close. but it was a competitive match. So we weren't going to, even though it was 10, we weren't going to give it to him. And Sam, we also thought it was kind of a learning moment for him. Before he hit the putt, he actually stepped back, jumped up, and said, "Oh my gosh, I know I'm going to miss this." And then we all kind of looked at each other, and, you know, he stepped up the putt and he missed the putt. And he was like, "Oh," he put his head down. He was so upset. And, it was for me, like, I've been there many times, right? But it was, what was so clear was that even at 10 years old, there's this self-talk in our brains that is, it's negative, and it's like, I'm going to mess it up. That's the default setting. That's what Mother Nature has given us for some, you know, evolutionary benefit, certainly. But that is, we all kind of had a chat after the round, and it was just like, you know, look, what could you have done differently there? And he wasn't really ready to have that coaching moment, but it was clear that there was an opportunity here to change the self-talk, in the 10-year-olds, the 30-year-olds, the 50-year-olds. And I've always thought about this idea of the voices in our head. And I just, from two of my very close friends founding, the meditation app Calm, I've just seen the power of what recorded audio could do for changing people's minds. And, you know, they're focusing on a 10-minute recorded meditation, guided meditation. And, you know, I knew my next big project was going to be in the self-development, personal development space. And it was going to be something with audio, given I just learned some really great lessons from my friends at Calm. And where I was going to point the cannon of focus was initially at what we call like these passionate pockets of consumers, and like whether your passion is golf or leadership or interior design. You know, the company that I started called TLDR is really taking these big ideas and turning them into 3-minute audio audio lessons. You know, all of them are story based. But they're really, the goal of them is to change the dialogue in our minds So we also have several visualization exercises in there. So for the, when you're standing over a 3-foot putt to win the match, you know, yours, like, I make 3-foot putts, is that's the default that, that you were replaced. I know I'm going to miss this with. Yeah, there's that, that, but that was, I talked about these, a couple of these moments in my golf life. That was one of them that, it just, yeah, this happens on courses every day, you know, but it was just, what really stood out was that he said it out loud and he actually kind of verbalized what he was thinking in his head. And most of us don't do that. Yeah, so that was that story. And, yeah, and that one of the dominoes effect that led to Imagine Golf, which is, so I have Sam to thank for that.
One of the things I love about Imagine, and yes, I am a subscriber now, I love that you're drawing from some excellent books and other thought-provoking work to create these quick hits, the daily drive, as you call them. I listen to a lot of SiriusXM radio. I'm in the car an awful lot traveling and whatnot. And I've been hearing ads for Blinkist all the time where they take, you know, written works and
yeah,
kind of, you know, pare them down to something that you can read much more quickly. And I started thinking about Imagine Golf as it's not just a golf version of Calm. It's really a combination of Calm and Blinkist that it's giving me highlights of books I might never have the time to read in full, right?
I think that's really, that's a very accurate kind of assessment of some things we've taken. You know, I think earlier on, you know, Cliff Notes was mentioned, and Blinkist is kind of an audio version of Cliff Notes in many ways. And there's several other apps that are similar to that that are doing a great job. And the thing about these apps, like in the meditation space, you have Calm and Headspace, and there's literally dozens of other meditation apps. And folks typically gravitate towards a certain style of voice or style of teaching. And I think about all these apps as they're really online. They're schools. They're just like St. Andrews is a school and Stanford is a school and Chapel Hill. So all these schools have different brands and, you know, different things about them that we gravitate to. And the other thing about these schools is all of them teach from a curriculum. And most of those curriculum is books. So, like, you know, studying economics at St. Andrews, like, you know, you read The Wealth of Nations by Adam Smith, and your teacher is kind of taking you through the big ideas from that tome of knowledge. And you're really challenging you to think about these concepts and ideas. And that's where we've started with Imagine Golf. So each week in the app, we introduce a new book. And it could be, recently we did one of Gary Player's, you know, not very popular, you know, books in terms of units sold, but very powerful ideas. It's called the Golfer's Guide to the Meaning of Life. And each day of the week, starting on a Sunday, you'll get a 3-minute story. We write it and narrate it, and it's inspired by a story that's in the book. And kind of like Aesop's Fables, at the end of the story, we really, you know, put a point on the takeaway. So it's like telling the story of the tortoise and the hare, and like, you know, and then, you know, because the fastest guy isn't always the one that wins the race. So we kind of don't. I think that's what we found is that there's a lot of golf tips out there. For our app, it's really teaching to the power of story. And it's, there's definitely a learning moment, but it's as much about the entertainment aspect. You know, we're in this edutainment category of content. Like you guys, I think podcasts are in that space as well. But now we're starting to add in, and this Calm did a similar thing, you know, some collaborations with, some public figures and folks that have, you know, a bigger following in the world of certainly golf. So we've done some things with Jay Revel as an example, as he's an author in the golf world. And now, you know, we're starting to work with several professional golfers about teaching some, you know, original content in the app that will go in alongside our spotlights on some of the best-selling books.
And certainly you'll be adding Mitch. We've already established that.
Well, that's very, you know, one of the things, actually, I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts on this. So, like, this podcast will be, I don't know how long it is, but one idea we have is to take, you know, kind of, you know, maybe there's a 3-minute snackable moment, or there's a series of four or five of them from this podcast. And that's something that we haven't explored in detail yet, but we'd love to, you know, it really help the golfers in our app discover new ideas and new teachers. You guys are teachers in a way, you know, you're guiding me and your other podcast listeners through the places and people of golf. So yeah, it's, we think ourselves as a discovery platform. And so that's actually an idea that we'd love to explore. It's actually kind of podcast key things from the top podcasts.
That's a great idea.
It is a great idea.
You have so many different topics is one of the things that really struck me on Imagine Golf. It's about how we think, but the daily drive tips range from very specific, like grip and alignment and breathing. I think it was the, am I remembering 6-2-3, 6-2, yeah. No, 7-2-6, or the other way around. It's one of those.
Yes,
numbers.
I think today,
listen to actually, it again, Darren.
Well, but yeah, so today is 2 degrees and 40 feet is the daily drive today. And that the concept there is that your club face could just be off by 2 degrees, but at 200 yards, that's 40 feet of distance of,
right.
You're off the, off your target. So oftentimes you have the perfect swing, your swing is in great shape, but your alignment could be off. And like every one of the lessons in Imagine Golf, we also, we tie that into life, so it's like, you could feel like you're stuck in your career and your relationship, but it just could just be 2 degrees difference, right? You may just need to spend 2 minutes a day, with your partner checking in, how's things going today? And just that 2 minutes or that 2 degrees, could really be the difference between hitting the target and not hitting the target. And that story is from, this week we're featuring the book Understanding the Golf Swing by Manuel De La Torre, who the Milwaukee Country Club club pro for over 30 years. He's the club pro that famously said, if you played around with every single member at Milwaukee Country Club, none of them would have a slice. And that was his like claim to fame. So we haven't gotten to that story in this week, but it's stories like that. How did he cure the slice of all these amateur golfers? And it's like having the analog version of what we're doing is it's like a mentor, like walking by your desk at work or in the pub, in St. Andrews, and just saying, "Hey, kid, you got a minute? I just wanted to share a story with you." You ever hear Emmanuel De La Torre? He used to teach in Milwaukee Country Club. And then he tells a story, and then like the takeaway is, whatever. And at the end, there's this like Aesop's Fable kind of moment, like he lands the plane, and then at the end of every episode or every story, we have our kind of we say that's all for today. Until next time, keep imagining what's possible. And we're trying to give that like mentoring moment each day, but obviously we can't do that in person, so we're just doing it with the power of recorded audio.
Well, what I loved, that you have those, some of those things are very specific. Some things are very, not generalized, but overarching themes of participating in golf specifically, but also sports. And like you said, life in general.
Yeah.
One of the things that struck me, I had a golf coach for a small while down on the Central Coast here in California. His name was Jim DeLobby. He was a great guy. And he really turned me on to the concept of visualization. And so one of the daily drives that I was listening to that really struck me was practicing backwards, where you're visualizing your finish, you're visualizing the outcome. And that really resonated with kind of the way I think about golf, but it was a nice refresher. So not all of these are going to be new concepts to people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're going to be, something that rings the bell that's already in your head that you may have learned at some point, 5, 10, 20 years ago, even.
That's so true. And I strange that you say that, because I was just thinking today as I read like for the 18th time to Charlie, our little, a little guy, like Guess How Much I Love You. It's like one of those, I think that's the name of the book. Read the same story over and over, throughout his whole childhood, and we kind of get out of childhood and get out of college, and like we stop hearing these stories of, you know, to kind of teach us and remind us things. And that's the, I think this, the other trend that we certainly a part of is this, like, is the really making lifelong learning more of a norm. And it's so many lessons are repeat themselves. And that's really become apparent as we now have covered over 60 books in the app. And you read the top 60 books in the field of golf and you go, wow, this is pretty much like there's maybe like 30 or 40 concepts here that are all being told and, you know, presented in slightly different ways. But to really own the content, to really be a master of that, it helps it to look at it from a different perspective. And it's like a different chefs might cook spaghetti a little bit differently. And tasting all the different versions of like them cooking that meal, or, you know, the metaphor of telling that story, you know, increases the, you know, your really understanding and ability to apply those lessons. But visualization is the one that is, for me, most exciting about the application off the course. And we're just starting to really take some of these lessons in the app and really help folks how, through the kind of Trojan horse of golf, how can we help folks implement visualization, after the round, you know, like in their life in general. And, similar to the play, you know, the visualizing backwards, one of my favorite ones is visualization idea of the round before the round, whereas, you know, pros do this all the time and, you know, low handicappers, but taking the scorecard out the night before and literally just walking through each hole and thinking about where you're going to place each shot. And if we did that, just planning our day, just looking at the calendar, you know, like kind of a, either with a cup of coffee or tea or a glass of wine, and just really slowly thinking through the shots you want to hit at work the next day, it's one of the dozens of ways that golf just so tightly ties into playing the game of life well. So we're starting to tease that out more. So stay tuned for how we're doing that.
Okay, I have a question for both of you, and I think it's for me anyway. First of all, I haven't been able to get the app because I have an Android phone, so I'm hoping that's coming soon.
2 weeks.
Darren gives me grief about this all the time.
Mitch,
we don't
I'm
have
sorry
to get into
that.
Details. but I want to ask you a question about the visualization because I think it's kind of important. The thing that I love the most and I'm the most excited about getting Imagine Golf is that it's auditory. I did a bunch of work about the different ways people learn. And what I found out doing that work is that I am not a visual person. Now, clearly Darren is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's obvious. You probably are, Malcolm, based on the way you're talking. I'm an auditory person. All of us are wired differently, and we learn. I shouldn't say we learn. We learn from everything. But there's maximum impact from mm-hmm. different stimuli. So for me, I am hooked in. As I get older, especially, I have a much harder time reading books than I do listening to. I read them, and a month later, you can ask me, and I'll remember some things and go, eh. If I listen to it, I can get into pretty good detail. So what I'm wondering is, and this could be further down the line, mm-hmm. something to think about, is there a way to take this auditory section of this, even if it's about visualization? I can't tell you how long and how many times I would try to stand behind the tee and visualize mm-hmm. a shot, and I went to 15 different shots before I could hit the ball. I mean, it's just the way my brain works. It's not good or bad or right or wrong. I have a wife who's a Hall of Fame billiards player.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, literally number one in the world, cover of New York Times Magazine, the best in the world. She is a visual human. When she walks to the pool table, she looks at the pool table for 15 seconds. And when she turns around, she already has the pattern for the blueprint.
Right.
That's how her brain works.
Yep.
So I guess my point is, because this is such an interesting concept to me, I'm going to click into these like nobody's business because I'm an auditory human.
I'm the same way, Mitch. I oftentimes say that sounds good. It sounds good to me. Like, how do you like? Right. Like, does that sound okay to you? Like, I think that's because my default is auditory. Where some people say what do you see about this like dinner we're gonna organize or something like that? And like they're just like when they're talking, the seeing or the hearing do come out. You can kind of pick out whether someone is auditory or visual.
Right.
So
that's how I learned I was actually. Somebody, yeah. The person I was working with literally gave me a playback of the way I spoke and said, look at these keys. Here are your keys. And then showed me another one from a visual human and said, here are their keys. I mean, it's fascinating stuff. I really, really think this is cool stuff.
And I think even when you're processing it, you know, like you're talking about with auditory, you are visualizing it in your mind. You just may not realize the way your brain is doing it. One of the great things I mentioned, Jim DeLobby, and I mean, I thought about him with every one of these daily drives I've listened to. I thought about things he's taught me, and that he had an idea called looping. And this might be something that you want to add at some point, Malcolm. But when you hit a good shot, he said immediately, rethink that shot in your head 5 times. Just visualize it again on a loop 5 times after you've hit a good shot. And the next time you're in that position to hit that type of a shot, that recall will come back a lot more quickly. And you can say, oh, this is just like the shot I hit on 3 that I looped, and get behind it and you hit it. And it's one of the key things that really helped my game in a lot of ways. And, you know, it's being able to dial in that one specific thing, because I know what you're talking about, Mitch. I do this. We're going to talk about putting here in a minute. But, you know, I think about 10 different things when I'm putting, you know, and when I try to visualize, I've got all these different things. And if you can get those good experiences looped and locked into your brain, then you can recall those. You know, even whether you're processing them just through the words to create the picture in your mind, or whether you actually are a person who sees the picture in their mind, you know, it'll work both ways, I think. Right. So,
I think that would be, we would call that a nugget, like the idea of looping. So that's probably in a golf book somewhere. I don't know if we found that idea of it, but maybe it's not. But that would be one where we'd love to turn that into a daily drive, and it's introducing the idea of looping. And it might be talking about, I don't know, like actually Dr. Joseph Parent, who wrote Zen Putting and Zen Golf, just recently released something in the app with us where I was the guinea pig for this, but he basically did a mental game lesson with me where we recorded it kind of like golf therapy and just put it in the app as like a half an hour, you know, as if you're a fly on the wall of somebody getting a lesson on their mental game. And he's doing this with several other folks, several other Imagine golfers at different handicap levels. And one of the things he did in the lesson with me was a similar concept of looping. He said, there's 3 types of shots we all hit. You know, every shot you hit is going to fall into one of these 3 buckets. And here's what your post-shot routine should be after each shot. First is you're going to hit a great shot. And you say to yourself, that's how I always hit it. Second shot is kind of like a so-so, like he would call like Hideki's, you know, hitting it into the sand on 18. He's kind of like, that's like a so-so. He's like, oh, I kind of was just a bit off there. And then you recreate the swing that you would have hit if you would have hit the perfect shot. But the self-talk and the post-shot routine is I was close on that one. I was close on that one. And then the third one is you just hit a shank, and you know, or you just top it, or you know, chunk it. And then he's like, that's not like me. And then you swing, you take another swing or two as if you've hit the perfect shot. And you're never leaving a shot without one, like reframing it as like, that's not, you know, either that's how I always hit it, I was a little bit off on that one, or that's not like me. So like almost training your brain that you hit great shots. And then you also do the physical swing of how you would have done it if it would have been a perfect shot. And it's this.
So what you're saying, Malcolm, is when I chunk a chip, the times that I go say to myself, you suck, that's not a good idea.
You suck. Yes. That is. Yes. There is. Dr. Parent's phone number is 917.
No, trust me. This is such great stuff. This is exactly what I guarantee you every golfer needs. There is no golfer that doesn't need this. I don't care who you are.
I think you're right. I think the stuff that I love the most here, we really early on in the app, like, you know, went live about, it was almost a year ago now. The thing was like, what are we doing here with this app? Like, what do we really want the output, the outcome in the world? How is the world going to be different? And we had all these different ideas and like inspiration and education. Really, is it? Okay, really the barometer of our succeeding is, are our subscribers playing measurably better golf? Are their scores going down? Are they getting results consistently? And that is where we've landed. And that's where it's, you know, so it's like we continue to remind ourselves, like, okay, if we're not getting these testimonials, like I've shot the best score of my life, or like I've gone from a 12 to a 7, we get dozens of these a week. And it's all simple, simple stuff. The most simple one is I never even knew what a pre-shot routine was. I kind of heard people talk about it. Now, every time I hit a golf ball, I go through my, you know, 7-8 second pre-shot routine. That just that, you know, is been the biggest impact that we hear anecdotally. But so this idea of the results on the course, and then, and obviously we'd like there to be results off the course as well, is where you just, you know, you go, most people are going from 0 to like 3 minutes a day, which is a infinite increase on working on their mental game. So if you took 100 random golfers from public and private and, you know, all the courses around the world, and you asked in the last month, how much time have you spent working on your mental game? Maybe two would have spent any time on it. So we're just trying to get them on the ladder, like the first rung of the ladder. And then if you really want to do more, like there's folks like Dr. Parent, you know, who you can do stuff with one-on-one. And there's so many other great, there's actually a whole profession of folks that teach the mental game of golf and instruct and coach just on this. So I think it's worth going into that and getting some lessons if you're really looking to lower your handicap or to win more tournaments.
So you've mentioned Dr. Joe a number of times, obviously a wonderful guy. So many people have relied on his wisdom. Tell us a little bit more about some of the things you and Dr. Joe are working
on. Oh, yeah. He is one of the great sages of the world of golf. He coached Vijay Singh, and 2 years later, he became number one in the world. He's worked with a lot of other pros and amateurs. And he teaches golf lessons just like a normal golf coach does, but he only focuses on the mental game. So we've got some of his, we cover all of his books in the app. So we got these 3 minute nuggets from his books on Zen Golf, Zen Putting, and a couple others. And we're recording these recording lessons and putting them in. I actually heard a podcast where a marriage counselor named Esther Perel does this with couples, and she just gets a couple, they introduce themselves at the beginning of the session, and then she hits record and you're kind of listening on somebody's marriage counseling. It's fascinating. So we kind of copied that idea, but somebody talking about their head case on important tee shots, or when there's a dog leg left, or they're on the back nine. They play great on the front nine, but they really play poorly in the back nine. And Dr. Parent just kind of like a samurai, teacher, just takes, you know, just kind of through in a specific golfer's example, through their story, you know, you, as you're listening, are really learning a lot of things that are relevant for you and your game, even though you're listening to like Graham or Brent, you know, talk about their golf challenges. So that's one of the more innovative things that we've recently put in the app. And Dr. Parent's so up for innovating and trying new things. So I encourage everybody to buy his books and check out his website.
One of the concepts he had that really blew my mind was about putting. And certainly Mitch and everyone else I've ever played golf with knows I need a lot of help in that area. But the idea of making every putt being different than a holing every putt, it might just revolutionize the way I approach my short game, because thinking about the idea that even if the ball doesn't go in the hole, you made the putt because you did exactly what you wanted to do. Even though you might have read it wrong, or you might have not, you know, quite figured out the speed, but you put a stroke on it that you wanted to, and visualizing that as making every putt and giving you that confidence, is just something I'd never even thought about. And I'm about to embark on a big trip here in a couple of weeks, you know, 17 days of playing golf with Mitch and a bunch of other people throughout the East Coast. And I'm going to try to use that mentality with every putt I hit.
Yeah, that's a huge one. That was one of the 3-minute daily drives. The mantra there is I make every putt. And he's like, you actually can make every putt. So you cannot control. No human being can what happens after the putter leaves the club face. But if you take the club back on the pendulum and swing through as you intend to do, you started on the line, you've made the putt that you intended to make. And it could hit a little bump, or you know, it could be off by just a little bit. But you know, it's a very powerful idea. It's also a very positive mindset. And like Sam sitting over his 3+, you know, footer, you know, I make every putt is his mantra. Like he's got a much better chance of making that putt. So as opposed to like, I know I'm going to miss this. So yeah, that's a very practical lesson.
Darren and Malcolm, you know that one of the great quotes, Tom Kite in 1986, when Nicklaus won and Kite had a putt on the 18th that lipped. And he said, I made the putt. It just didn't go in.
Oh, wow.
And it's always been one of I think about it a ton of times. Doesn't mean anything in my golf life, but it's exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned Chuck Hogan early in this podcast, and Chuck used to do a thing where you'd hit a putt and then you'd watch the result of it. And if it went in the hole, you reinforced it with some gesture. And it could be big or small. But if it didn't go in, you then took 5 seconds, stepped back, and visualized however you did that in your mind or with your eyes. You visualized the putt going in and then walked away. It was a big thing with him, too. So I'm all for this stuff. I wish I had paid more attention.
Well, what you guys have a lot of golf buddies. Like one question, just curious to your guys' observations are, you know, being in the world of golf, What do you think most golfers' approach to the mental game is? So like, they kind of like, do you find folks are kind of dismissive of it? Or are they curious about it? But like, what is like your golf buddies think about this stuff?
My initial reaction, I don't know how Darren feels. My initial reaction is most golfers don't think about it.
Right.
And I just don't think they think about it. They're aware of it. I don't think they're dismissive of it. It's not like they go, oh, that's hogwash.
I think you have a subset of people who think it's mumbo jumbo, you know, and at the same time, but I think that's a small subset of people. I think you're right, Mitch.
They're not our friends.
Though. Right. But I think it's most people just don't think about how much improvement you can make. You know, they think of the power of positive thinking and things like that, but they just don't realize how much improvement you can make. In the way you're talking about it, Malcolm, and in these snackable bites that you can digest and catalog in your brain in a way that makes it a lot more sensible to recall them at times that you need them on the golf course. And so that's what I think this does really great. And you know, I was glad Jay turned me on to it because, you know, I can see myself on the plane to Atlanta in a couple of weeks and in a car in 3 hour stretches, listening to a couple of these, you know, before I show up someplace to play golf.
Yeah, there's a mindset that you've got to get into. I think any athlete, or even before a great meeting, I went to some Tony Robbins events, you know, earlier in my career, and you know, he talks about like before he goes on stage, he has this like 1 minute pre-routine thing, and he kind of turns around, spins, and like makes his power move, and he's like getting into state, like to go and you know energize these like 15,000 screaming people, and I think pro athletes do that as well. I had a one of my high school coaches, you know, talked a lot about that. Like, okay, what, you know, on a 0 to 10, like what level of intensity is your optimum level of intensity before you step on to the tennis court or something? And so, but these 3 minute ones, a lot of folks listen before the round. It just puts you in a, you know, with some music behind each episode. It's like a, try to make it an immersive audio experience to take you out of the hustle and bustle of leaving the house and, you know, diapers or stress at work or whatever, and like put you in this place of like, you know, you're really in a position, you're focused on your golf game today. And it's like, you know, one thing that, you know, that it could be very, very significant in your, you know, changing your performance that day, or, you know, it could just be like, okay, now I'm ready. This is like, this is how I get ready. I listen to this thing for 3 minutes. We have some 1 minute stuff in there as well, like, you know, before your first tee shot. But the app, I actually studied, my degree at St. Andrews was applied economics. I was not so excited about the theoretical, and I still am not, to be honest. Any application of knowledge is where I think just much more excited about learning. I was like, how can I use this stuff? So I think some people are a little bit fuzzy on the mental game because like, but how am I actually going to use this on the first tee? It's like, well, have you heard of Pia and Lynn's think box, play box concept, you know, and take 10 seconds, stand behind the ball in the think box, decide what you're going to do, cross the decision line, step into the play box and stop thinking, just execute. That one little nugget is something everybody can use as a pre-shot routine. And it's in their book and a lot of pros use it. And that's the kind of knowledge that we're trying to wrap up in an audio bow in the app.
Cool. Do you know, I'm going to just ask you this quickly. Do you know Fred Shoemaker?
I know of Mr. Shoemaker. I've never met him.
Okay. I'm just going to say worth the journey. He lives in Carmel. He's close to you. And if you can make contact, I'll give you an idea of the ongoing piece that Fred Shoemaker plays in my life 27 years after my first anniversary. Because for my first anniversary, instead of being home with my wife, I got on a plane and flew to San Francisco to do a 4-day workshop with Fred Shoemaker.
Wow.
And Fred is for people that don't know, he has something called Extraordinary Golf. He's a mind-boggling human. And this is right up your alley, Malcolm, and Imagine Golf and everything else.
I'm putting that on the top of my priority list here.
He's close to you. That's what's
he's
so
a great suggestion.
Great. I mean,
yeah, he's mentioned. Yeah, that's so that you did a 4-day event with him, a 4-day training.
Yeah, he literally had an extraordinary golf workshop.
I've never done one of those, but I'm really P and Lynn do them. Vision 54. Would you recommend doing that?
Yes, and I think, and I know Lynn Marriott. I've known for a long time. As a matter of fact. See, this is, I love this stuff because you've said this about the connections.
Yes.
Chuck Hogan, who I've been talking about a few times on the show, worked with Lynn Marriott. I've known Lynn for years. I've never met Pia, but I know Lynn well. The circles come back and come back and come back. If you have a chance to spend as much time as you can with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nielsen or Fred Shoemaker, do it. That's all I can say.
Great. I love that kind of advice. Do it. This is it's clear I will.
Yeah,
that's great.
This isn't the, you know, I'm sorry, we keep kind of getting a little off track. I hope you don't mind this.
Not at all.
A little bit.
Sorry about this, but it spurs so many images. I realized when you were talking, and Darren, you were talking about putting and that part of it and everything else, and I realized you asked about what do our friends think about the mental game, and what are 98% of golfers, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm including myself in this, they want a tip. They want one tip that will change their golf life forever. And that golf tip is a physical golf tip.
Right.
They want to go and get a lesson and have the guy say, do this with your wrist or your hip or your whatever, and you're going to hit it 30 yards further or whatever. But nobody really, it's not an instant fix. You got to be willing to invest the time. And it's what I love about Imagine Golf also is the time is broken up in a way, it seems to me, where it doesn't ask you to change your entire life in a second. But it does make the assumption that you're willing to put in the time to go ahead and do it in a way that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely does. So. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, clearly we could, the three of us are just going to have to meet up somewhere.
Well, when are we playing, guys? Let's get Jay out. And
well, like Darren's got more access to you than I do, and that kind of pisses me off. I don't know.
Can I get, I'm not inviting myself on any golf trips, but how does somebody get on your golf trips? What are these trips?
We will definitely put you in touch with one of them at least this summer. So we're doing a trip. We usually mention at the beginning of the episode, but we're doing a trip up to Gamble Sands, and then going to play Wine Valley in Washington as well. And I will get you the information because you should definitely come join us and have a good time see what we can do and put all this into practice together. We're playing a course like that.
Okay. Yep. All right. You're on the list. You're on the incredibly exclusive list. Okay. All right. We're going to shift. We're going to really quickly, we're going to do a 180.
20 minutes.
Okay. 20 minutes.
20 minutes to do the emergency nine.
Okay, there's a lot of pressure on you now, Matt, for Alrighty. The emergency nine. Actually, it's on us, not on you. We're going to race through this. The emergency nine's golf travel questionnaire. Our listeners are familiar with it, and you know what's coming, and so let's get to it.
Great.
Start off with your favorite course and or destination anywhere in the world. For you, it's a big world.
I'd say a 4:40 p.m. Late September tee time on the old course, followed by a pint at the Jigger Inn, sitting outside of the Jigger Inn, looking out over the 17th and the St. Andrews Bay.
Okay. No, there needs to be no response to that from Darren or I.
Yeah, that seemed like it was coming, and that seems like an appropriate response.
Predictable.
Question two is, what destination is at the top of your golf travel bucket list? Where haven't you been?
I thought about this question, and I've never played any golf in New Zealand, and we have some images of some incredible golf courses in New Zealand, and I'd like to do a tour and play like the top five courses in New Zealand. So
all three of us have that at the top of our list.
Yes.
Because I have not been to New Zealand either, neither has Mitch. We've been working on it. In fact, Mitch and I were going to try to go for his 70th birthday. And then when the pandemic came along, you know, it kind of threw that all into disarray. So we may try to do that New Zealand trip sometime in the next 2 or 3 years.
Trust me, I tried to hold off my 70th birthday just for that reason.
I hear that. Yeah, Cape Kidnappers, the images of Cape Kidnappers are just so breathtaking. And Yeah, one of our partners is Gary Lisbon, the golf course photographer, and a lot of the images in the app he's taken. And I go back and look at these ones of Cape Kidnappers. I'm just like, the golf mind that created that course, I have so much reverence for. It's incredible.
Okay, number three, what's the best place you have ever stayed?
I mean, I'm a ambassador for St. Andrews today. So I soon after my wife we shared with everybody that she was having our first baby, we made a trip to St. Andrews, and we stayed in the Old Course Hotel in the dead of winter, and nobody else was there. We kind of had the run of the whole hotel, and she got to go to the spa. You can get cheap rates in the wintertime if you're looking for, you could also play golf. I was going to sneak away and let her do like the spa thing while I played golf. But that morning was the course was frozen. So you couldn't play the old course because that happens quite a bit. You have to we had to get the train down to London. So, but that's I love that hotel. And I also have a lot of happy memories being a student there because the bar at the top on the fourth floor there. Is a great place to get a, relatively affordable whiskey. If you want to just have a great view and catch up with a friend. The Old Course Bar.
That sounds like we're just drinking whiskey and playing the Old Course is just kind of what we're doing today. Boy, makes me wish I was back there. What is the single best thing you have eaten on a trip and where? And who knows? I might ask you your favorite brand of whiskey.
Oh man. So there's some friends of mine, very sadly, I guess got wiped out in Katrina. Really still coming back, but it's a golf course in Abaco in the Bahamas called Treasure Key, Treasure Key Golf Club, golf course, the public course, and the Bahamian beer is called Kalik, and this is like the best combination of food is like you play nine holes and you have a click in the golf cart and then you go to the beach shack and get conch fritters. And the conch fritters are like, I don't know, the equivalent of like Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets or something. Like they're just something in them is addictive. And then you shoot back on the golf course and finish your nine. But that course the course is in decent shape, but sadly the Abaco really got hit hard in the hurricane and they're going to take a few years to get back. I can't wait for that round, again with, some of my buddies from high school.
When you go back, you need to go check out the Abaco Club as well.
Yes.
That's there. And I actually I was there visiting. I took a boat trip. And went to Treasure Key and had conch fritters.
Oh my gosh!
So we have both eaten conch fritters, and we're probably the only people who will listen to this podcast who ever have. But it's just
the Abaco Club. I've not been to, but I've heard incredible things about it. So that's on the list too.
The Abaco Islands are just fantastic. Godly. If I could be a member out there or live out there in some way, I would do it. It's just it's so wonderful. And again, we've talked on the podcast before. We talked with David Kidd and some other people about when the hurricane came through, and just wishing all those people the best in their recovery. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're coming back. They're coming back. So there's some great folks down there helping them out as well.
All right, let's move on. Besides the golf and the people, what's the most important thing to you on a trip? The golf and the people are a given.
Yeah,
something else that you say, I really don't have it.
This may be contentious. Got to be some poker. There's got to be a poker night on the trip. So I'd say that's like a golf trip isn't really a golf trip. There's not a poker tournament one night. So that for me, I look forward to that almost as much as the golf. So that would be mine.
Okay, if Darren. This is episode, what episode is this? 166, 7, 8? You,
right.
My friend, Malcolm, are the first responder to that question.
Well, how many would play?
You've never had anybody say. People like it, but nobody's ever said it's the most, besides the people in golf, poker's the most important thing.
Well, what else are you going to do after dinner? So, yeah, I think
yet another reason for Malcolm to come to Campbell Sands with us.
That is so great. All right, here's what we're going to do. I can't believe I'm going to say this. The Campbell Sands trip is going to include Darren and Malcolm, and it's going to include my incredibly good friend, Lon McCarron.
Oh, yes.
Who's done poker for ESPN, World Series of Poker for years.
Oh, that's cool.
And loves golf. I mean, is a golfer. I'm going to see him in a couple of weeks. He's coming here. Would that be okay if he did commentary for a night of poker?
That would be incredible. Yeah, I don't know if I want to sit next to him at the table, but yeah.
He plays, but I'm talking about
the commentary.
Well, what we should do, Darren, we'll say as a requirement for Lon to come on the trip, he's got to do commentary. He can't play in the nighttime event.
He may say no. Commentary. He may say no. He loves the game too much.
No, I know.
I know Lon. Yeah, he could comment. He could that's the follow up. It's like something to talk about on the next on the round. You know, to go back on all the bad beats and et cetera.
Oh yeah. But then again, he'll say to me, Mitch, you've done golf commentary, so you have to do commentary while I'm playing golf.
Yeah,
that's good.
So that doesn't work. Forget that idea.
All right, what are we back at here? What's the one piece of golf apparel or equipment that you can't live without? Besides the Imagine Golf app.
Yeah.
How you like that plug?
That was a great plug. Yeah, you mentioned the Calm TV advertisements earlier. Like, we need to figure out if you can architect our first Imagine Golf TV campaign, something about that, like the essential item next time you go play. I think this is I'm not that big on, like, basically when I play golf right now, I think I look at other guys, I'm like, they're so much cooler, they're cooler shirts than me, they're like, you know, they got cooler gizmos and gadgets, like I need work here, you know. I need like a golf, here's what I'd love to have for this. It's like a golf, like I guess not a stylist, but like just like a buddy that like kits me out with like cool stuff. And like, it doesn't cost a crazy amount, but I don't have that guy in my life right now. And like, maybe we should do something like this in the app, but I've got my set of TaylorMades. I've got the clubs that I like. This is what's missing in my life. So, I don't have the cool, comfortable all weather pants that are really good for, you know, rotation and all that stuff.
Could this be Chris there? We should talk to Chris. You can't talk to Darren and I about the equipment stuff because we play 100-year-old clubs.
Right.
And wear plus fours and kilts. So.
Oh, yeah. I did hear about the kilts. So maybe that's the direction I need to go. So that's, you get a lot of freedom. A lot of freedom.
Yeah. Trust me. Well, we'll connect you with Chris because he has access and I've seen him. He styles on the course.
He styles.
He does.
Such a funny way to say
you
that.
You don't know what that means, Darren. All right, we're going to move on because that question.
All the top pros are styled now. You know, if you want to look like you look at a golf pro, they just look like. I don't know. Like, I don't know what the word is, but it just looks styled. They just look like. These guys, there's a lot of smart people dressing these guys, and they look good.
You also have Brooks at the Masters with a gray shirt and a pink.
That's
hat.
True. That's true.
And everybody Brooks went, "Excuse me, okay." I don't care. To me, what anybody wears is it's what they want to wear. It's not.
I totally agree. I think about my apparel as an accessory. Like I'm not going to be winning any awards there. So,
all right, let's talk about. Do you have? As far as handicap, do you keep one? Do you care?
Yeah,
I've got a handicap. Where do you play from, and kind of what level do you rap?
Yeah, so I'm a. I just looked last night. I'm a 7-8. Coming down. I'm trying to get to a 5. That's my next milestone. I will get there, and know what I need to do to get there. I think. It depends on the event, you know, whether it's blues or whites, but. I'll probably play if I'm playing like with some buddies, we'll probably play the blues. And it's just kind of a fun day out, depending on the course. And that's me there.
Cool. Do you have any problem moving up tees when you're playing with other people? Do you say sure?
No, not at all. I'm very, very happy. Very happy playing up. No problem at all. Yeah.
I had a feeling.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Who's the most interesting person you've ever played golf with?
A recent person I played golf with, Bishop Bill Swing, who's a bishop, recently bishop of, well, longtime bishop of here in San Francisco. And with a name like Bill Swing, you know, he's certainly got golf running in his blood, but he is in his...
What was his name?
Bill Swing.
Bill
Swing. But he's an incredible golf historian as well as just a, you know, humanitarian. He runs an organization called United Religions Initiative, which is kind of like the United Nations for religions. And, he's full of all these great golf stories, over the years. And he's actually written a book around, you know, as a, you know, preacher, you know, someone who's a bishop, he tells a lot of stories, you know, obviously in his, you know, when he was active. So he brings that skill to the golf course. And I think great golf companions are great storytellers. And, all of us can be better storytellers for sure. And I think that's something else. As we think about what we can teach folks, I'd like to have a go-to set of 10 stories that I can always kind of share. You're waiting for the group in front of you, instead of complaining about how slow they are. But, you know, have you heard the one about, you know, how, you know, when JFK came into the Oval Office, there was spike marks, there, you know, from, you know, when, you know, from the game of golf doubling from when Eisenhower was president. And it's like, you know, Bishop Bill Swing is a phenomenal storyteller, and he also shoots his age, you know, almost every time he goes out. I think he's 84, and I played with him recently. He shot better than that. So good golf, you know, he's a good golfer, but he's also a great storyteller.
Maybe we can invite him to Gamble Sands too.
Yeah, he's got the right guy on his side. So if you're ever playing in competition with him, I think he's a good guy to have on your team.
All right, what's this is the ninth question on our emergency nine. I have some bonus stuff, but what's the one golf course you wish everyone knew about?
So you mentioned Tobacco Road. I'd say that's one because I want to support my hometown of Sanford, for sure. Tobacco Road. Some people say it's like a Walt Disney course. And I love that. There's theater there. There's playfulness. They took some risks. You know, there's some blind tee shots. But it's fun. And I think that golf, especially if you look at courses like St. Andrews and the brand of St. Andrews, could be, it's a little bit staid and, fun isn't necessarily a word that you use. So, in making the game of golf more fun, if one of your first rounds is at Tobacco Road, or if you're looking to get back into golf and you kind of need a shot of adrenaline, that's a great one. That's a really great one.
You won't get any argument from the two of us.
Yeah.
No, definitely. tell us your best golf story. What's the coolest, weirdest, craziest thing you've ever seen or done on a golf course?
Oh, seen or done on a golf course. I'm trying to think back. So in that Abaco trip, it's a really kind of this island is not fancy at all. You know, you've been there. I think there, and you've maybe seen this, like there's a place called the Tipsy Seagull is the bar there in Treasure. And we would oftentimes go to the Tipsy Seagull, and then you rent golf carts for the whole week. You only can get around with golf carts there. And then we would go out to the course and play night golf. And night golf at the Tipsy, after like a good session at the Tipsy Seagull, was always incredibly entertaining and fun. But there was a time where the golf cart on the way to the course, it's like maybe a 10-minute golf cart ride, one of the guys took the golf cart into the ocean. So that was a before we teed off the night golf, he completely lost a golf cart. And that was that. So that is, we didn't actually quite start the round, but that was like something that just popped to mind as you told that story. So anybody ever has a drink of the Tipsy Seagull, if you look close enough, you actually see a golf cart at the bottom. They just kind of retired that one at the bottom of the marina there.
So it's like a shipwreck.
It's a shipwreck. It's absolutely a shipwreck. So
that is so great.
I think that's the kind of fun things that can happen on golf trips. And obviously that was that was more of an expensive mistake. That's what popped to mind right there. But I would not repeat
that's a pretty
it.
Good
I'm not
one.
Want my son to be telling that story one day. So
that's a pretty good one. And obviously you'll never let him forget it.
You would never
that's
do
a
that.
Lifetime story. I could see you guys being 90 and going, "Hey, remember that?"
Well, it was just like, let's go back and like, yeah, toast to the golf cart at the bottom of the marina in Abaco. So, but that actually Abaco just needs all the tourism it can get, you know, when it does get back. So I do hope folks go down to Abaco and play golf. And Treasure Key is a public course. You can rent a beach villa in Treasure Key for, I think the weekly rentals are $1,200 for a villa with two bedrooms. It's not expensive. Maybe it's $1,500 now. It's cheap, much cheaper than almost all golf trips. You just got to get there. Fly to Fort Lauderdale and then take the little puddle jumper from Fort Lauderdale. It's like an hour down to Treasure Key. So,
sounds fabulous. All right, here's your final question. I know we've been here for a while, but this is your final question.
Two questions in one.
See, you have to ruin it. All right, here we go. What makes a round of golf fun for you? And what makes a golf course great in your mind? And are they the same thing? So it's actually two questions there.
Yeah. First
fun,
one,
great, or same thing?
Yeah, I think the fun one is actually independent of the golf course itself. It's got to be competitive. I always like there to be either playing in an event or like, you know, there's two guys and we're playing a match against each other. Or it's me and a buddy and we're playing a match against each other. I really enjoy the competition. And it could be, you know, literally for a drink at the end of the round or something. You know, it doesn't have to be for a lot of money. So that's what makes it fun for me. I think what makes a course great is I'm a very young student in the golf course architecture. You know, my journey is just beginning there, and I'm excited to go far in it. But I think that the short game is where I know is going to take me down to where I want to be in the game of golf. So I like a course that really the green that is protected, you know, and it's really makes you think, and it's like if you make it on the green, you still got a challenging putt, but just around the green, like the golf course designer or the redesigner, whoever touched it last has really thought like, okay, I want to really, if you're going to miss this green, you're going to suffer somewhat. And so I like, that's something I like about golf courses, whether it's through the bunkers at St. Andrews or kind of the false fronts at Augusta, where I haven't played there yet, but that's what I'd say about what makes a golf course great is that the short game, which is really what the game is at its best, it really makes you, really keeps you on your toes.
Cool.
I love it.
Great answer.
Yeah, what a great answer. Mitch, I think something interesting about this conversation with Malcolm, we should tell people, we've never met Malcolm before. This is literally the first time we've ever spoken. You know, we traded some emails, but we didn't know a lot about Malcolm other than outside of his role in Imagine Golf. And a couple episodes ago, we had Augie Pisa on, who's a golf architect, and he talked about something called getting on the right frequency in the golf business, and how once you get on that right frequency, things happen. And I think it's interesting that in this whole conversation that you know, we don't know you, you don't know us, we know each other much better now after an hour and a half of doing this, but there were so many things that overlapped about the things we talked about, like you talking about running into to Sid Matthew while you're in Scotland. And we know of Sidney because of his daughter, Lauren Harrison, who we work with a lot here in the golf business. She was in the PR side of the golf business for a long time. Or you being from Sanford and the fact that Tobacco Road is mine and Mitch's favorite place. And I'm literally writing a book right now about Mike Stranz. And so there are all these things.
At Tobacco Road?
Well, I'm writing about Mike Stranz, the designer as a whole, but I started my entire introduction to him came at Tobacco Road. You know, there are all these different things. The Abaco, you mentioned the Abacos. Almost nobody's been to the Abacos to play golf, and we've both been there. And then, of course, the fact that we all will, when we're together, drink probably as much whiskey as can ever be consumed. So, I just think this was a wonderful time, Mitch, and I want to throw it out there that it's a great example of what Augie said about we found the right frequency here with Malcolm.
Yeah, totally agree. And again, we have to thank Jay. You know, Jay's a frequency guy too.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
There's no question Jay's a frequency guy.
Jay texted me, by the way, and said, "How did the podcast go?" And I responded to him with, "Well, it's still going, so I guess pretty good."
That's funny.
I think, you know, one of the great things, you said it before too, Malcolm, is everything offers us the chance to meet people and do things. And I've done, and Darren has done, you've done, we've all done a lot of things in our life. But I can sit here at 71 years of age. I didn't start playing until I was 30, late in my life, I think. And 98% of what is great in my life has come from golf.
Oh, man.
There's a lot of chapters in that book, but I can't even imagine what my life would be like if I didn't have it. And part of the great joy of it is getting to meet people and talking to people like you. And applauding you for what you're doing. This is. I hate to say this because Darren's going to slap me. It's a game changer. I couldn't help myself.
Nice.
Well, that's guys. I'm so grateful for letting us kind of share some of the story and me share my story. Jay's kind of nudged me as a friend to say, hey, buddy, you got to talk about what you're doing more. And I'm kind of reluctantly do that. But I actually really enjoy it. And, hearing your guys' stories and, being a part of this conversation around traveling around the world, going on the adventure of exploring new places and meeting new people. It's just, they're certainly on the same wavelength. And Looking forward to actually getting out there and playing some golf together. So that the trip thing you're talking about, I'm kind of jealous of buddies that get to go on really cool golf trips. I have that one in the Bahamas with the hurricane and I wiped it out. So I'm like, okay, like I'm kind of itching, and my wife, she might just let me go. So
hang on afterward. I'll make sure I get you the details of the one this summer. So
you got it.
Yeah, we'll definitely figure out how to make that happen. Mitchell, take us home.
All right, man. Well, thanks to Malcolm Scoville. You can download the Imagine Golf app on the Apple platform. Hopefully soon coming to the end.
2 weeks. It'll be live in 2 weeks on Android.
2 weeks? Yeah, yes. Baby. All right. That's thousands of you that are going to get to enjoy it like I will. The subscription is only a few bucks a month. Can't put a price tag. That's how I feel on this kind of stuff. You can find Malcolm at Mal Scoville, MalScoville, on Twitter and Instagram.
And as always, we have to thank the listeners. Couldn't do it without them. Keep listening. Rate us on iTunes. Follow us on social media at Golf Trip Experts. Help us spread the good word about the world of golf travel.
Yippee. And of course, thanks to our great producer, Chris McEwen. You can catch up on his Golf Origin Stories podcast as soon as you're done listening to this one. Because clearly, you just sit around listening to podcasts. Chris is great. We thank him for all his help and everything he does with us. Malcolm Scoville, he had a dream to help golfers. keep imagining what's possible. His tagline at the end of every Imagine Golf segment. We hope you keep running down your dream as well. So long.
You know, at 90 minutes, this is definitely not a snackable podcast.
I should have said at the end of it, this is a six-course meal that
you're listening to. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.